The gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter, verses 18 to 24. Please rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken to the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means, "God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. The word of the Lord.
Nothing can happen that ever changes that fact that we are God's child. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. I wanted to share with you this morning that sometimes we live in a world, and not sometimes, but we do live in a world where we always have to worry about what kind of impression we're giving people, don't we? What do people see? What do people perceive about us? And a lot of this gets captured all the time, now even more so than ever. I mean, we've got YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And in fact, I was with some friends last night, and we got into a crazy game, and then someone found themselves in an awkward position in that game, and so someone took out their iPhone and took a snapshot of it and then put it on Twitter immediately. Within 30 seconds, this moment of embarrassment ended up all on the World Wide Web. We live in an age, a media age, where anything can go public. And it's amazing what we've been able to capture, that we have to actually even be, I think, more concerned today, or we can become more concerned today about how the world sees us. You know, there have been a lot of people who've made some mistakes along the way. I thought I'd share a few with you this morning. I'm going to share a few quotes with you that have lived in, that continue on through the World Wide Web. Here's a quote from Bill Peterson, a football coach. He said, "Men, I want you just thinking of one word all season, one word and one word only, Super Bowl." Okay. Philadelphia Phillies manager said this, "Half this game is 90% mental." Now, if you really think about that, it actually makes sense, kind of, you know. Now, there were so many Dan Quayle quotes that I couldn't, I just picked one. I mean, we could have had all Dan Quayle quotes this morning, but here's one from Dan Quayle, famous one. "It's wonderful to be here in the great state of Chicago." Ivana Trump said, "Fiction writing is great. You can make up almost anything." An Australian cabinet minister said this, "Traditionally, most of Australia's imports come from overseas." And then, you know, how could we forget Britney Spears? I mean, you can't leave her out of this. "I get to go to lots of overseas places like Canada." I mean, there are hundreds of these out there. And it's also a little scary being a pastor in this church because everything ends up on the web. It's videotaped. And so last night I was actually preaching and I actually made a mistake in what I said in one part. And so I'm sure that's been captured by Jim and the rest of the tech crew to live on in memory. But we have this, we live in a world where we're always trying to project maybe somebody who we're really not. We're always trying to protect our public image, so to speak. And really that's Joseph's issue here in this text. I mean, Joseph has got John Ortberg calls in his book, "Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them." I don't know if you've read that book. But he talks about the fact that we engage in impression management. we try and impress others, and so we have to put on this other person rather than being ourselves. And Joseph, in the community of Nazareth, it says, was known as a righteous man. In Hebrew, the word is the tzaddik of the community, which meant that he was a man that went to synagogue every week. He was a man that of integrity. He was a man who ran an honest business, a carpentry business. He tried to keep all of the many, many laws as explained in the Torah. He didn't eat seafood. He kept the law of the kosher laws. He was a righteous man. And he's now got this dilemma as a righteous man. He's got a public image to uphold. And here the woman that he is betrothed to, and in the first century, betrothal was as binding as marriage. It's a little bit different than engagement today. So that actually what happened was that he had, as I've mentioned before, he's got a contract with Mary's family. A marriage covenant has been established. And the only way to break that covenant is actually to write a certificate of divorce. It is legally binding at this point, even though they're not living together, even though they're not together as husband and wife. They are talked about as husband and wife at this point because of the marriage covenant they've already taken a step into. Now remember, Mary's been away for about 3 months with Elizabeth. Now ladies, that as you, those of you who have had children, what happens at about 3 months pregnancy? What starts to happen to the female body? That's right. Something starts to show, right? So can you imagine that Mary comes back to Nazareth, at least 3 months pregnant, to talk to Joseph? Things are starting to become a little bit obvious at this point. And so Joseph's got a dilemma. The woman that he is betrothed to, the woman he is in marriage covenant with, has just shown up back in Nazareth pregnant. And signs are starting to show. And part of his dilemma is that according to the law, according to Deuteronomy, if a woman in this situation is found to be unfaithful, she is to be taken to the doorway of her father's house and stoned. But for some reason, and right reason, Joseph cares about Mary enough not to do that. But he's still got this image to uphold. He's still a righteous man in the community, and how can he maintain his image as this righteous one when his wife has shown up pregnant? You know, we all have to wrestle with that, don't we? With what we project, what others think of us, or can we really be ourselves? Can we really trust those around us? You know, there was a man, he was looking for a job, and he was having a hard time finding a job. The economy was bad, and so he noticed that there were some job openings at the zoo, and he went down to this local zoo, and he went into the manager's office, and he said, "I understand you have job openings, and I'd like to apply for a job." And the gentleman said, "Well, yeah, we do have a job opening right now, and I'd be glad to talk with you about it." He says, "Oh, great, this would be wonderful." And so the manager took the gentleman over to the gorilla enclosure and showed him the gorilla enclosure, and then he took him around to the back of the gorilla enclosure, and they went into a small room, and he says, "Well, your job's going to be working here in the gorilla enclosure." And he says, "Okay, great." And so the man pulls out this gorilla suit. And he says, "Put this on, and we want you to go into the enclosure and put this suit on and act like a gorilla. And because we just lost our gorilla last week, and we need somebody to fill in until we find a new gorilla. So it's a temporary job opening." So where's Brian Meek? Brian, you know about gorilla costume, right? Brian actually a couple weeks ago was out in the parking lot. On Halloween day, he had a gorilla suit on if you were here that week. So this isn't a story about Brian. But it could be. So he gets in there and he says, okay. So he puts on the gorilla suit. He gets in the enclosure, and he is out there, and he's doing a really bad impression of a gorilla for the first couple days. He's just trying to figure this out. I mean, how do gorillas act, and, you know, how do you do this all day? And he's trying to figure this out. But, you know, the more and more he does it, the more and more he starts to get into being the gorilla. And he actually gets pretty good at it after about a week. And he's actually starting to draw crowds now to the gorilla enclosure. You know, because he's doing all the gorilla things and all the right things. And finally, you know, one day he's out there and he's really swinging high. I mean, he's really doing some acrobatics and he's really got into the hang of it and the crowd's closing in. And he thought, I'm really going to show him this morning. And he does like some kind of a flip or something off of one of the branches and he loses his grip and he goes out of the enclosure into the next enclosure. And it's the African lion enclosure. And so he falls into the African lion enclosure, and he's trying to dust, he's still on the ground, he's laying there, and he's trying to assess his injuries, and then all of a sudden he looks, and there's a male African lion coming towards him. And he's like, what do I do? What do I do? And so the male African lion comes over and actually takes him, the gorilla, in his jaws, and has got his jaws around him in the gorilla suit. And the man says, starts to scream. I mean, he starts out with this blood-curdling scream. And he's like, let me go, let me go. And then he hears a voice that says, shut up or we'll both lose our jobs. I'll let that one sink in a little bit. I really got you guys this morning. I mean, you guys didn't even know it was coming. But it's hard to be who we really are on the inside, isn't it? We always are trying to put on this suit. We're always trying to present to the world something different than maybe who we really are. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're afraid to be who really God created us to be. And so we put on these monkey suits. And we go out into the world and we try and present an image to the world that is really not who God created us to be. And you know, God, I think, wants us to be who we are, who God created. And we're all unique, we're all different, and that's okay. We don't have to all be the same. That's the way God works. But I think that's what Joseph is wrestling with. I mean, he's got to be afraid of losing his reputation, of losing his impression of being a righteous man. So what does he do? He's kind of figured out a win-win situation, hasn't he? He's going to keep his reputation intact, and he's going to divorce Mary quietly so no harm comes to her. So he's got a win-win situation figured out. But a part of me also wonders, was there also a fear that he couldn't trust Mary again? Was he at a place where, you know, maybe he thought about taking, maybe he believed her at some level, and would he be able to take her in as his wife? But I think he still was questioning, can I trust her again? Can I trust her to stay faithful? Can I trust her to be sincere? And is she telling me the truth? So there's a trust issue that has developed at this point for Joseph. Can I trust her again? Even if she has fallen, even if she has made a mistake, can I trust her again? What do I do? You know, I find it always hard that when you fall or make a mistake, it's always hard to start over again. It's always hard to retrust again. You know, one example of that is I was actually out rock climbing with a group of youth many years ago. I won't tell you how many. But I came and we went with a guide and we went up to this cliff face and there were four sections on this cliff face and the guide said, you know, here's the easy one, you know, if you really want, you've never done this before. And I was like, oh, I've done this before. And then there's the medium one. And I said, well, that's just not challenging enough. So there's this other one over here, and it's got what's called a high commitment move. And it means you got to take a big risk to make it to the top. And then there was like the expert section. And I thought, well, for my first climb, I'll try out the challenging one. You know, these young people around here, they need to see, you know, what it's all about. I got to show them how to do it, right? So I get all roped in, get my harness on, get the rope attached, and I begin to climb. And I climb fine because I've done climbing before and I'm doing just great. And get up to this place where there's a rock outcropping. So the cliff face, and then there's this rock that comes out. And I've got to get up and over and around this outcropping. This is the challenge part of this climb. And in rock climbing, you always want to have three parts of your body on the cliff. That means so it's either 2 feet and a hand or 2 hands and a foot. You always want to have three attached to the cliff and one moving, searching for the next spot. But for this move, my feet had to leave the cliff face, and I had to use just my hands to get up over this rock. So I got myself in position, and I yelled to the person at the top, a young woman who had me on the rope, and I said, I'm getting ready to make this high commitment move. Give me some slack on the rope. So they let out slack on the rope so I could do this. And so I get my hands in position, and I can't even see over top of the rock. I can't see. I have to feel where the handholds are. And I get my hands in place, and I've got a grip on them, and then I go to make the, I take the risk, and I let my feet leave the cliff face. And so I'm dangling in the air without my feet attached, and I'm trying to pull myself up. And I'm a pretty big guy. And my arms, I don't work out that much all the time. And sure enough, this hand begins to slip, and I lose my grip, and then this one follows, and I fall, and I leave the cliff face. It's at that point that I let out this blood-curdling scream as I fall, and then something amazing happens. I stop falling. You see, I had forgotten that I had this rope attached to me the whole time. I got so scared because I thought I was going to die. Because I had totally forgotten, in the intensity of the moment, I had forgotten that all along I was secure anyway. That rope had always been there. And so at that point in the climb, after I kind of caught my breath and my nerves settled down, I had to make a decision. Am I going to try this again? Or am I going to let them lower me down? And so I had learned at that point, though, that there was something that I could trust. Even though I couldn't trust my own strength, even though I couldn't trust my ability, I could trust that rope. Because I had never fallen before, so I didn't know that I could trust it. But now that I had experienced it being there, it was like, I'll do anything. I'll try anything because I know it's always going to be there. And so I went for it again. I changed some things up. I found a different technique, and I made it up over that spot and made it to the top. And I just thanked that young woman so much. And when I got to the top, I was so thankful for her. I think I've thought about sending her Christmas cards every year after that. But the point is that it's amazing that how our perspective changes when we know we can trust that someone's got a hold of us. And I think that's what Joseph needed to know. God's got a hold of you, Joseph. That rope's always going to be there. Your faith and your trust in God, that's a secure thing. No matter what we face in life, no matter what we encounter in life, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the risk, no matter whether or not we fall or mess up or not, God's still there. God's got a grip on us. See, Joseph needed to know that. He wasn't sure whether to do this. He wasn't sure whether to trust or not. I kind of even wonder what would have happened had Joseph made the decision to take Mary as his wife. Would God even needed to communicate to Joseph? But God knew that there needed to be some intervention. So God went and said, Joseph, I got things under control. Trust me. Take Mary as your wife. That's all you need to do is trust me and take this next step. And it's immediately that Joseph wakes up. I get the sense from the text that Joseph wakes up and immediately goes to Mary, probably apologizes and says, I'm going to take you into my family as my wife. He did what God wanted him to do. He trusted in God's plan, even though he didn't have it all figured out. Dr. Martin Luther King said, faith is simply God illuminating the next step. What Martin Luther King said was that God never, rarely, if it never, shows us the whole staircase. God only illuminates the next step for us. You know, Joseph was a guy who wanted to have it all figured out, wasn't he? He wanted to have all the plans in place. But God was saying, no, I'm not going to show you the whole staircase. But here's your next step. Take Mary to be your wife. I've got a plan in this. So my question for us this morning is, What's stopping us? What fear is in our way of trusting God and God's plan for us? What's holding us back from putting our faith in the God who's always got us securely, who never leaves us, never abandons us, that no matter what, we're always God's child? What's stopping you? What's getting in the way? What is the fear that needs to be let go of? And what's the step of faith that needs to be taken? Let's pray together. God, we come to you this morning realizing that we do wrestle like Joseph did. We wrestle in ways with our own fears, our own anxieties, our own worries. And God, we acknowledge sometimes it's hard to let go of those and to just trust you with the next step. So God, come and give us the courage and the strength to let go of those fears and worries, to let go of those anxieties or those needs to put another impression out there to the world, to just trust you in your plan and trust you in who you made us to be, your people, your children, that it's okay to be us. And so God, we invite you into our lives right now. We invite you to come into our lives and give us that strength and that courage to live for you and to be who you created us to be, to take that next step of faith. We give you thanks, God, that you've always got a grip on us and you will never abandon us. In Christ's name, we give you thanks. Amen.